turn with me, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 3 again. We'll just read again the first three verses, but keep your Bible open. As we go through the word this morning, we'll look at other portions of Scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And there the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. And Samuel was laid down to sleep. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your Son, his doing and dying and rising. We thank you, Lord Jesus, you laid down your life for us, but you took it up again that we would have hope of glory. We thank you that your Spirit lives in us and that he leads us and guides us. And we thank you, Lord, that in you we live and move and have our being. Thank you this morning, Lord, we're able to be here under this roof, remembering your Son, worshipping your name, and now under your word. Bless our babies in the creche, and those who will look after them. Bless the children's church today, and the teachers who will be with them. Pray that something would be in their hearts that will take these little ones through to eternity. And now, Father, we pray for us who are here, those who are watching, even at this moment or later. We pray, Father, that you would speak to all of our hearts as you deem it fit to do. Comfort the mourning. Heal the sick. Convict the sinner. And save the lost. Restore the backslidden. O God, we pray that you would encourage your children. They're altogether lovely. You're the chiefest among every and any 10,000 to our soul. And so this morning, Lord, we ask you, move upon us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This morning we want to look at part two of the subject we were on last week. It will be different, same theme, but if you missed last week, you won't really miss anything by just listening to this morning's. But I'll just start on how we came across this message and what it means. The title is Coram Deo, or Deo. And it was Martin Luther who was asked what Martin Luther wanted from the Protestant Reformation. To put it into a concise term, he had his 95 theses and he was asked, Mr. Luther, what is it you want to see in the church? And Martin Luther, he said, Coram Deo. And so Coram Deo means to live one's entire life in the presence of God. To live one's entire life, that's not only in church, but that's all of our life everywhere. In the presence of God. To live our life, our entire life in the presence of God, under the authority of God, to the glory of God. In other words, where we are, what we do, who we're with, we're conscious and aware that God is there. And we live our lives as such. And then we have to look and say, is what I'm doing the company I keep? That which I am even putting out or speaking out, does this glorify God? Or does it bring disrepute to the name of the Lord? So under the authority of God, to the glory of God, it is to understand that whatever we are doing, and wherever we are doing it, we are acting under the gaze of God, as God is omnipresent. And so last week we looked at that, and we seen how coram Deo would be that we leave this premises, or wherever we may be, and we're not just leaving God here. God the Holy Ghost lives in here. And we walk before Him, serving Him daily, reforming our lives as we walk. Notice here, we stopped at 1 Samuel 2 and verse 18, please. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. And we can't go down this again, but Samuel was in the temple, in the outer court temple, that would be, and he's serving the Lord, ministering unto the Lord. But we looked at it here that he was before the Lord. Remember verse 11, the child did minister unto the Lord. In verse 11, of course, in chapter 3, verse 1, Samuel ministered unto the Lord. Ministered before the Lord and then ministered. And there right in the center, the word before is the word panim. Panim. And it means that part which turns. It's like you do something right in front of my face or to the side, my face turns to look. No matter where we are, God's eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth. And that part of his face, as it were, which turns. This morning, as we worshipped and praised the name of the Lord, as we were aware of the sense of his presence, his face had turned to this tent. His face turned to this meeting. As it were, his face turned to see who worshipped and his ear to hear what it was. Coram Deo. Samuel ministered because he knew God was everywhere. He knew that he was to live his entire life in the presence of the Lord. So now let's go to 1 Samuel 3. That's a little snapshot of, just a little bit of last week. 1 Samuel chapter 3, please. And let's look at verse 3. I'll get a drink just before I go any further. Last week we looked at Eli. And we looked at how he was old, but we looked at Eli, a picture of weak faith, and his sons, Phinehas and Hophni, how they were sons of Belial. In other words, they served the devil, not the Lord, but said they served the Lord. We looked at that last week, and Eli was laid down in his place in verse 2. And verse 3 says, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. Now take note of this. Ere the lamp of God went out. Well, there you are. There's part of our story. They're going to sleep. The lamp goes out. Samuel gets up to relight it. That's not the thrust behind it. The lamp during the night should never have went out. That's the word behind it. You see, brothers and sisters, weak priests, as in Israel here, weak priests create weak people in Israel. Weak pastors create weak people in the church. Weak pulpits create weak people in the society. And the weak church will see righteousness and moral standards fail and fall. I think when we look at our nation this morning, we see what is wrong with Ulster. We see what is wrong with England, Scotland and Wales. Weakness in the church. Weak pulpits from weak men make weak Christians, which makes a fallen society. And Coram Deo is not from church down, if you want, or church out. Rather, they don't live, many don't live under the gaze of God. They don't live to glorify God, but rather many live for a pay packet and a manse of a house. First of all, we overlook evil in society then. Then we permit evil. Then we promote evil. Then we celebrate evil. And then we persecute those who still call evil, evil, darkness, darkness. And then we eulogize those who propagate evil. So light has become darkness, good has become evil. And that comes from weak priests when they create weak people in Israel, or weak pastors when they create weak people in the church, weak pulpits that create a weak people in society, and a weak church will see righteousness and moral standards fail and fall. In his post-apocalyptic novel, it's his seventh in the series known as The New World, and it's called Those Who Remain. Michael Hoff writes a cynical vision of history. Hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men. And weak men create hard times. Let me say it again. I won't say it again. Listen, hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men, and weak men create hard times. And while this might not be 100% correct for all, it does shine a light in some truth that out of our difficulties and dark times, God raises up a light. Here in our reading, he raises up a boy. Who knows whether in CET, those children going out there, what they'll hear of the glories of Christ, should Christ tarry, that God will not raise up one of those little ones, whether it's a baby or a child, a light in Ulster again. Your children. God was about to raise up a light, a boy, a Samuel. A Samuel in the waiting, a Samuel in training. But truth is, how quickly men forget when things are better and good again. It goes in a cycle. And when prosperity comes, none want to know the ways of the Lord, for they feed the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eye, and they live by the pride of life. First Samuel chapter 3 and verse 3 says, "Ere the lamp of God went out." How sad, how tragic. "Ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was." Now, notice the lamp of God is the lamp of Elohim, the God who created all things, the creator, the maker, the keeper and sustainer of everything that there is the word there for God. The lamp of God or the lamp of Elohim, the one who said, let there be light. And there was light. A little lamp in the temple of the Lord went out. Man couldn't even do his little bit. Then it says the temple of the Lord. In the temple of the Lord, the Lord there is Jehovah or Yahweh, the covenant name of God with his people. So here the Creator now comes into covenant relationship. And here Israel, represented in the church here of Israel, if you want, the temple, covenant name of Jehovah. The name of Jesus, by the way, is Jehovah Savior. Jehovah saves. Our covenant keeping God. The one who died for us. But here, this lamp goes out in the temple of Jehovah. And the word temple there is the word hechal. And if you were to read it into the Greek text, it would be naos. I've taught you about naos many times. That is the holy of holies where God would meet with Israel. Christ is our temple, our naos. He is, he says, destroy this temple and I will raise it up again. The third day or in 3 days I will raise it up again. He is our temple, our naos. It's in him where we find God. The Lord Jesus Christ. He said in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In other words, Jesus said, he said, if ye have seen me, ye have seen the Father. It is the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works, he says. So in Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, or the fullness of deity, as the Greek text would say, bodily. And hence when we come through the veil that is his flesh, we enter into the holy place with God. Do you know this morning we were at the Holy of Holies? And how did we enter? Through the blood of the Lamb. Through the blood of our Lord Jesus. So here we have the lamp of Elohim went out in the temple, the Naos of Jehovah. And the Ark of God, where the Ark of God was, the Ark of Elohim is. Inside that Ark, that golden box, inside of it, you had Aaron's rod that budded, blossomed, and bloomed. You had the broken tablets of the law, the Ten Commandments of the law. And you had a pot of manna where God fed Israel on manna every day. Jesus said, that bread of God, he says, I am the bread of God which came down from heaven. I am the bread of life, he calls himself. That pot of manna was a foreshadowing of Jesus the bread. The law that was broken by man on the tablets, the law was the law that we had broken, representing Christ who keeps the law of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, the psalmist said. And whenever the law of God is perfect, converting the soul is that if we can keep the law 24/7 in every jot and tittle and way, we would be saved, but we can't. We broke it, and Christ came and kept it. Aaron's rod, it budded, blossomed, and bloomed, and it was there also. And then that case, these three items were there. But what about the rod? Well, remember there was a move against Moses and Aaron and their leadership by the sons of Korah. And they came, the Lord says, put all their staffs down in front of me. And the next morning they come in, and the one, the staff that the Lord would pick, that he would show who would be the spiritual leadership of Israel. And there this rod budded, blossomed, and bloomed. And that was the sign. This rod is the one that God had chosen. And that was Aaron's rod. It was just a stick. It used to be alive and but was dead. No, it was a stick. And God brought life out of death. Represents the resurrection of the dead. We were alive until Adam sinned and we died. We died. Before God, not only do we die and go to the grave, we died spiritually. We became like the dry old stick. But thank God when his son came, he made us alive again. And they're representing Christ who came from the very tomb, from death itself, and he is alive forevermore. And here we have the two cherubim on the lid, touching wings and looking toward those emblems. The wonderful Christ of God, and the lamp of God went out. This menorah lamp, seven branch golden candlesticks, shone the way toward the Ark of the Covenant. Look, there's the way you go. Here it is, here, the light. And the lamp goes out. Revelation 1, please, if you will. Revelation chapter 1. Verse 10. John writes, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Being turned, I saw, notice, seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, and as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in its strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. What a sight. I just want to pause there for a moment. What a sight. I'm conscious of him this morning. When I saw him, what will it be like, eh? Talked this morning, didn't we, about cherubim and seraphim and beasts and elders and all the glories of heaven, and talks about golden streets and pearly gates and rivers of life and the tree eating all 12 manner of fruit, and we hear about it all through the book of Revelation. But listen, but when I saw him, I trust my loved ones are saved, you know. And I trust when they died, they went to be with him. And I hope and trust that, because they didn't leave testimonies behind them. Not great anyway. I hope and I pray that I will see them. And I look forward to it. I want to see the city. I want to see, as it were, the heaven. I want to see his glory. But I want to see him. It's him. I want to see Jesus. John says, when I saw him. You know, just like, and when I saw him. No. When I saw him, the hymn writer would write, center of glory, thee I see, wonderful man of Calvary. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, for I am the first and the last. He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell, or the grave that is, and of death. Write these things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be. Notice the words here. In John's day, hereafter, not thousands of years in the future, hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. That's the seven from Ephesus to Laodicea we read. And that represented the light of Christ. And the light, the lamp of God went out. And here John sees, as it were, the lamp branched off into like seven churches. The angels of the church represent seven, the pastors of the time, the leaders of the church. And you read through chapter 2 and chapter 3, and you'll see what Jesus says about them all. The Laodicean church is the seventh church, seven being the number of perfection. It is the last church before his return. It is the seventh church age, if you want, throughout time. They represent seven churches and how the church throughout the years was manifest. And we live today in the Laodicean church age, period. And Jesus says, you're lukewarm, you're neither hot nor cold. I want to spew you out of my mouth. And hence we see that the lamp of God has went out in the temple. What is that temple? Christ is our temple. But Paul tells us, blood-washed believer this morning, ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. If you're saved this morning, you're the temple. But here's what I ask. Has the lamp went out? Has the lamp went out in the temple of God? And what about when we gather together? We are the temple, the body of Christ, the temple of God. God never allow us to have it said so that the lamp has went out in the temple of God. Boy, time's flying. Well, for me it is. I don't know about you. Maybe dragging for some. The seven-branched golden candlestick in the temple in Samuel's day in Israel would light up the holy place, showing the way to God. And here we see, as it were, right through that time, the temple of the Lord in the seven churches. And the lamp goes out. You see, notice what it says here, back to our reading, please, and I'm going to have to round this up again. First Samuel, please, chapter 3. Verse 1, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord. Notice Samuel, he ministered unto the Lord before Eli. He didn't minister unto Eli. He didn't do it because he wanted to please Eli. He didn't minister for the sake of helping Eli. He ministered unto the Lord. And Eli, being old in faith, allowed his sons to be wicked sons of Belial. Just thinking about this. Thinking about it, and I said this. We can't, that is you and I, we can't hold ourselves back in service of Christ due to a lamp being out in someone else. Because there's many people whose lamp has went out. Their light has stopped shining. And you tend to listen so much that you allow your lamp to go out. If you can get up as Samuel did and relight it, that's good. But these men in the church, we'll call it that, Eli and his sons, Phinehas and Hophni, were men of Belial. His sons were wicked. Eli allowed it to go on. And listen, if the established church denominations are not willing to take a stand that the light and the lamp would shine of God within them, that doesn't mean to say you and I have to do likewise. Listen, sometimes people find that when they shine bright and pursue on, that they're hindered by what people think and say of them. I get it. I do. I get it. And it can hinder you. But here's the thing, brothers and sisters. If you stopped in the street to throw a stone at every dog that barked at your heels, you'd never move forward and get on with what God has called you to do. It says in 1 Samuel 3 and verse 1, but Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. It makes me think of how conscious Samuel was before Eli of the presence of God. Coram Deo. Coram Deo. Would you say it? Coram Deo. Would you say it louder? You know why I want you to say it? I want you to remember it, because maybe there's going to be a time when this or that or the other thing comes your way, and maybe you're tempted or tried or weakened and you're ready to move forward into something you shouldn't be at or doing or wherever. Or maybe you're under pressure and you think, where are you, Lord? Maybe you're not with me anymore. Remember, it's for the good, as it were, and it's also for when we go bad. Coram Deo. You're before the face of God, living in the presence of God, our whole existence in His presence. Samuel was aware of Eli and his sons, but he still ministered unto the Lord. Makes me think of Elijah going to Samaria. He was a prophet to the northern kingdom, the house of Israel. Makes me think of Elijah going into Samaria to King Ahab and saying this: as the Lord God of Israel liveth, notice, before whom I stand. Now he's right in front of Ahab. Ahab would have his head cut off in the blink of an eye. Ahab and Jezebel, his wife, wicked. She's up to all sorts of witchcraft and worship of other gods and demons, and he's married into this, and he's allowing her to control, with a Jezebel spirit, allowing her to control him. And Elijah walks into his palace and says, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom, he says, I stand. But you're before Ahab. He says, yeah, physically. But I'm aware I'm standing before Almighty God. Here's one for the politicians. Here's one for the Christian politicians. What about when you hear of all the abortion that's going on in the nation? What about when you hear of murder of the innocents from the womb right up through society? What about when you hear of all of the socialist, Marxist, communist ideology coming in to Ulster? What about when you're standing there and those who have murdered and bombed and are standing telling us how to live? What about when you're standing there? Do you remember Christian politicum quorum deo? But rather you sometimes tend to bow the head. Listen, we know Donald Trump got in, don't we? I have a question mark over Mr. Trump, but I think he's a lot better than Mr. Biden. But they're 2 years of the same donkey, really, sometimes, you know. But one thing he done, everything to do with the whole gender stuff, 72 or 6 genders, whatever it was, he put a big axe through it as the President of the United States and says there's 2 genders. And he's doing these things where he is cutting these things out of society that were brought in by this, the back door Biden administration, communist Marxism. The LGBT, whatever else after it. He's axing all of these agendas out. The Black Lives Matter are communists. He's taking it out and he's axing it all out. Have to give him for that. And I was reading about it the other day, a big list of them, what he's done already. And as I said, I have a question mark over him, so. But looking at this, and I looked at it and I thought, I don't even know if this is a saved man. But whether he is or whether he isn't, that's what he's doing. And I thought about it. And I thought, imagine this happening in the British government, in the parliament. Then I thought about it again. I thought, imagine this happening in Stormont and Belfast. And then I thought about it and I went, unless God moved in a mighty way, it's never going to happen. Christians, whether it's pastors, listen, I know that I have to remember quorum deo in my life. In what I preach and bring to you, I have to remember it. And even when I have subjects I don't want to put out there, it still has to be said. Unless every Christian, blood-washed Christian, blood-bought child of God, unless every preacher and pastor and minister of the gospel and politician were to remember quorum deo in their hearts every day. Unless that happens, Ulster will not be saved. Oh, time's slow. Let the children come up, please. I'll just finish with this as they come up. So it says the word of God was precious in verse 1. There was no open vision. See the word precious there? It means the word of God was rare. Do you know, if something's rare, it's precious, isn't it? Precious metals, gold and silver, precious jewels. Bible speaks of all them because they're precious, because they're rare. The blood of Jesus is even more precious. Because only the blood of Christ can wash us from our sins. It's so rare. There's only enough to fill one man. But it's powerful enough to cleanse all from their sin who come to him. I have loads of material here. The word of God was precious. It was rare. And then it says there was no open vision. You know what it means? God stopped revealing himself to Israel. God stopped revealing himself in theophany form. The way God appeared as an angel, God appeared in many ways. He stopped it. And Israel are saying, we have heard about it, but God hasn't done this in such a while. Do you know why? Because the leadership to the church leadership, the king that is, to the church leadership right down, was rotten to the core. And unless the church, you ready? And this is a word a whole lot of Christians don't like. I don't mean in here, I'm talking about people because they believe we don't have to anymore. But I'm going to say it, unless the church repents. People say, oh, we don't need to repent anymore. We're the church. Listen, unless the church gets on its knees and cries for mercy unto God, there'll be no revival in the land. Unless the church repents of all it's allowed to come in the church, come in if you want to lead the church, unless the church repents for its unbelief, unless the church repents for allowing the word and all the depravity of the word to come and lead church services, as it were, unless the church gets together and prays and seeks the face of God, turns from their wicked ways, unless the church repents, there's not going to be a revival. God bless you this morning, just as all the kids are coming in. Team, would you come up, please?